doing transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi, 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI. And by the way, tell them you heard of their support for the industry from Jim on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails.
Hello everyone, Paul Guanzon for Johnny Holiday, reporting on sports. College football bowl berths could be secured this weekend, even though the official bids will not be extended until a week from tomorrow. Michigan State can clinch a trip to Pasadena and the Rose Bowl, along with the Big Ten title with a victory over Indiana, while a Hoosiers win will keep Indiana's Rose Bowl hopes alive. The Pac-10 crown and the Rose Bowl spot will go to UCLA if the Bruins can defeat Washington and the second-place USC Trojans lose or tie against Arizona. The Southeastern Conference title still up in the air between LSU, Alabama, Georgia, and Auburn. Auburn and Georgia battle in Athens tomorrow. LSU will play Mississippi State, while Alabama will take on non-conference Notre Dame. In the Southwest Conference, Arkansas can clinch a tie for the title with a victory over Texas A&M. America's biggest hope for an Alpine gold medal at the 1988 Olympics, Tamara McKinney, will be sidelined for about 6 weeks. She suffered a hairline fracture of her lower leg. It'll certainly hurt the U.S. World Cup skiing team, but Coach Chip Woods believes she'll be ready for the Olympics.
It affects the team significantly, I would say, especially for December results. There's no way that Tamara has any kind of a chance for the World Cup slalom title because we have half of the year's total slaloms in December, so that's going to be very difficult for us. But you know, it may, in some ways, it may give her a little bit of a break away from ski racing, and she may be pretty fresh for Calgary.
In baseball, the Yankees and Chicago White Sox made a five-player swap today. The Yankees will get pitchers Rich Dotson and Scott Nielsen, who began his career in the Bronx, while the White Sox will get outfielder Dan Pasqua, catcher Mark Salas, and minor league reliever Steve Rosenberg. In the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys have cut defensive lineman John Dutton. The New England Patriots say linebacker Steve Nelson is expected to announce his retirement because of an ailing shoulder. Quarterback Joe Montana remains doubtful for Sunday's game with New Orleans. He bruised a knuckle on his right hand while holding the ball for kicker Ray Worshing. Steve Young will get the nod if Montana cannot perform. In the NBA tonight, forward Bernard King returns to haunt the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. King recently signed a two-year guaranteed $2.2 million contract with the Washington Bullets after the Knicks elected not to match the offer. King played in a few games last year for the Knicks after being out for two seasons with a knee injury. Both the Knicks and Bullets still seeking their first wins of the season. The Boston Celtics remain undefeated at 4-0 and will host the Cleveland Cavaliers, while the 3-0 Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan will entertain the 0-2 New Jersey Nets. For Johnny Holiday and the ABC Information Network, I'm Paul Guanzon.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. We can discuss such topics as how you can become rich and famous by making a fabulous gold discovery, or perhaps the role of education in the Alaskan mining industry. And of course, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Some will discuss where the Earth's hidden treasures might be found, while others will tell us the rules we must follow to extract them. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of the early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. my, but we have a fascinating program for you today. In just a few minutes, we're going to meet today's guest, Rudy Vetter, who, as many of you know, is one of Alaska's most capable prospectors and miners. But before launching into the thick of the program, let's do what we do to give away dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, and that is our Frontier History Quiz. The first person to call us at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us the answer to our question, we'll win a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located across from the News Miner. Listen, listen now. Last week, our guest, Ernie Wolf, spoke of his benefactor when he attended the University of Alaska School of Mines, and that was the university president. The question is, who was the first president of the University of Alaska and hence Ernie's benefactor? The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim. Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim.
Hi, Jim. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got it now.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fine, and the person you're talking about is President Bunnell.
That's right. Charles Bunnell. By the way, what's your name?
This is Marge Zielinski.
Marge, thank you for the call, and I want you to know that you've got dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. And a little bit of information for you, Marge, is that William Cashin wrote a biography of Charles Bunnell in 1972, and the title of the book is Farthest North College President. I'm sure that you were aware of that.
Oh, I sure am, Jim.
Okay, Marge, I'll tell you what. Why don't you stop up here at the KFAR studio and pick up your certificate for the dinner for two.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Marge. Thanks
sure.
for the call.
Bye-bye.
Real good. Well, that takes care of our Friday afternoon history quiz, and I want to introduce our guest here today, who is Rudy Vetter. How are you doing today, Rudy?
Very well.
I understand we're going to talk about prospecting and mining in Alaska.
That's the subject, I guess.
Well, Rudy, before we launch into the program here, perhaps we could talk a little bit about the calendar of events that is coming up, and maybe after I run through a few that I have here that you might have some ideas of what's going on around the interior of Alaska that might be beneficial to the mining community. First of all, on the calendar of events, the Army Corps of Engineers, in cooperation with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension, will hold workshops on filling out Corps of Engineer plaster mining permits on November 16th and 17th. That's Monday, next Monday afternoon and evening, and Tuesday morning. And for more information regarding this set of workshops, you can call 474-7702. That's 474-7702. Alaska Women in Mining will hold their annual meeting and election of officers on Tuesday, November 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the home of Connie Parks Carl at the corner of Foreign Circle and Birch Hill. For more information, call Caroline Rowland at 452-1022 or 457-2410. And Mac Turkey says Mac Turkey Day will be at Gavora Mall on November 21st from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Children can enter the Mac Turkey Art Contest. For entry and other details, call 456-1937. Mac, our resident 6-foot turkey, suggests that you have your picture taken as a pilgrim, buy some homemade candy, or perhaps purchase a Smack a Sammet doll. Some of the other local miner items on sale will be plaster miner silver medallions, artwork, Christmas cards, jewelry, and cookbooks. For more information, please call 456-1937. Join the fun at Gavora Mall on Saturday, November 21st. And Mining Extension will begin an introductory class on mining and milling Tuesday, December 1st. And for more information regarding the mining and milling class, which is open to the public, you can phone the Mining Extension at 474-7702. And by the way, Rudy, do you have anything you might like to add to that?
No, I think you covered it quite well, Jim.
Okay, let's take a look at a couple of the people that support Alaska Gold Trails. Gabe's Truck and Auto, and the owners, of course, are Gabe and Kathy. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And by the way, folks, that's not just my opinion. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and 8 mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you know you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair, mount, and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, get this, folks. Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting your vehicle ready for winter. If you get an oil change, filter, and lube, or tune-up at Gabe's, you'll also get free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater antifreeze, check gearboxes, inspect fan belts, battery, and all fluid levels in your vehicle. And don't forget, Gabe's Towing Service. He has 3 wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. With this icy weather, you might write that number down and put it in your glove box. You can call Gabe's again at 456-6156, and he will take care of your vehicle and probably save you money at the same time. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. And a message from North Pole Rental and Small Engine Repair. Jim and Jeanette James of North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repairs, located on Badger Road, 1 mile from North Pole Intersection, directly across from the telephone company, want you to know that if you've got lawnmowers, tillers, 3- and 4-wheel ATVs, and motorcycles that need work, Jim can and will repair them. That's right. If you've got a small engine that needs repair, just call Jim or Jeanette at 488-7373 or 488-9339. And listen to this, folks. If you've got some painting or construction to finish up before winter truly arrives, they have the rental equipment you need to get the job done. Whether it's saws, power tools, heaters, generators, pressure washers, loaders, or compactors, North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repair will rent you the proper equipment to finish up the late summer job. That's North Pole Equipment and Small Engine Repair, located at 3068 Badger Road, across from the telephone company, serving the people of North Pole and Fairbanks with quality small engine repair and equipment rentals. Give Jim or Jeanette a call at 488-7373 or 488-9339. Okay, Rudy, why don't you give us some background information on what activities you were involved in prior to your coming to Alaska?
Well, first, I guess I would like to say that I was born June 6th, 1917, in Roof, Washington, which is the southeastern part of Washington State. I was a twin. My twin brother Adolf lived in this locality for a number of years. He was engaged with me and my wife in our mining operations. I came to Alaska in 1951 expressly to go into mining and prospecting. Adolf was spent several years here before I did. My background in prior to coming to Alaska was primarily in ranching, wheat ranching, cattle raising, and fruit production in the Quincy Ephrata area. I also worked after returning from overseas from the Air Force, after my tour of duty in the Southwest Pacific during World War II, I went to Wallace, Idaho, and went to work for Sunshine Mining Company underground. We worked at the 3,600-foot level there, that is 3,600 feet underground in the old Jewel Shaft. Sunshine is still in operation. I did a number of worked on a number of construction jobs and in the woods in Washington and Idaho, and about in 1951 in May, I came to Fairbanks for the first time.
What caused you to come to Fairbanks? What was this the magnet that drew you up to the cold north country?
I was always interested in Alaska because I knew a number of the fishermen who worked here and in fishing, and primarily the people who worked in mining. I don't remember, they made some fortunes and moved into Washington State, a great number of them, and invested in various enterprises in which I was acquainted with. I think some of you real old timers here may remember the E.J. McKenna family. Their stories about the gold and gold mining in Alaska intrigued me, and this is, as I said before, is expressly why I came here to do prospecting and mining.
Well, and their stories, did they tell you about the big gold discoveries in Fairbanks?
Oh, yes. They were very definite, and they were enthused, and those people, large numbers of them, had made some substantial fortunes in those days, and took their money and went to a little milder climate as they were becoming older, and made their investments there.
Now, how did they mine in those early days, Rudy?
Most of that was drift mining or underground mining of placer ground.
Mm-hmm. And was Fairbanks a big drift mining area in those, that was in the early 40s?
I knew those people that were here from 1902 till about 19... I'm talking about people that were here from about 1902 to 1930.
Uh-huh. And so it was because of these people that came down and visited you in Washington and perhaps made their new homes in Washington that you got struck with gold fever.
Yes, that's right, Jim. That was the primary factor. That's why I came to Alaska.
Okay, and when did you get married?
Grace and I were married the 2nd of February 1944 in Brisbane, Australia. She was born and raised in Sydney, Australia. She was a big city gal.
She was, huh?
Sydney was a population of about 600,000 at that time at least.
And so you drug her off to the frozen north.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's see. Now, your brother, Adolf, he was a you were twins.
Yes.
And Adolf came to Alaska a couple of years before you did, didn't
he? About 1949, he worked for the old FE company in placer mining.
Uh-huh.
And on the dredges.
And then you came, what, 2 years later?
2 years later.
Uh-huh. Well, look, Rudy, let's take a break away from this for just a minute. Let me talk about a couple of the businesses that sponsor our Alaska Gold Trails. One of the questions is how would you like to strike it rich? Well, that's exactly what will happen if you travel out to 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road and dine at Two Rivers Lodge. What an evening you'll have, an enchanting log structure with frontier decor, complete with a solarium overlooking a beautiful tree-bordered lake. What a pleasant setting for your dining pleasure. If you enjoy exciting new tastes, the menu alone will be enchanting. Their appetizers include such delicacies as shrimp cocktail, stuffed mushroom caps, and the one I enjoy, hot and spicy chicken. I guarantee you'll love it. There's a complete list of main dishes, including veal plates, seafood plates, chicken plates, and of course, we don't want to overlook the pleasures of steaks. And for dessert, my favorite, grapefruit pie. A fluffy body with bits of grapefruit spread throughout to add a delightfully tangy taste. Drinks, they have anything you might want, and perhaps some you have never heard of. How about hot drinks? They have all kinds of coffees, and we don't want to forget Two Rivers Special Coconut Brownie. That's Two Rivers Lodge, located at 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road. For reservations, phone 488-6815. The number once again is 488-6815. And tell Stasha and Don that Jim sent you. Another one of our fine sponsors here is Import Auto Body. They're located at 2201 Judd Street, right next to the Jade Shop. Tim Schroeder is ready to serve you with free estimates, excellence in bodywork, and of course, they offer insurance estimates. Import Auto Body uses the very finest materials available. Also, they have a unibody frame straightening and alignment machine that will straighten to within a millimeter of factory specs. Using this latest technology, they simply put your car on the machine, then realign the frame to factory specifications. And keep in mind, folks, this machine is not limited to imports. Factory replacements, they have them. window replacements, they can do that too. Restoration, the very finest in Fairbanks. They feature famous genuine Saab parts, and they have a urethane primer that will make your car like new. Find a deal on a used import that only needs minor repairs and take it to Import Auto Body. They can fix it up for you. Import Auto Body specializing in quality auto body repairs. They are located at 2201 Judd Street, right next to the Jade Shop. Give Tim a call at 451-8456. That's 451-8456. Okay, Rudy, once you came to Alaska, what was the first jobs that you entered into here?
I went to Healy and went to work at the Cap Lathrop mine, building a new power plant. And from there, I came back to town and did some work constructing sidewalks, streets, and roads in the Fairbanks area, generally in general construction.
And did you, at that time, did you do any prospecting or mining in the Fairbanks area?
We prospected generally in the Fairbanks area, other areas within the interior. I was a head custodian in the school system, as many people will remember, for about 17 years, but it gave us a lot of free time to do a lot of prospecting. Of course, I just said it gave us a lot of free time, and here again, I want to thank my wife Grace publicly, because there were times where we spent a lot of time prospecting where I should have perhaps spent more time with my wife. I really appreciate her forbearance there.
Well, yeah, they have to put up with a lot, don't they, Rudy?
Yes, they sure do.
Yeah. Prospectors lead a rough life away from home in many cases. Tell me, some of the areas that you looked into during your prospecting adventures.
Well, we looked into the Nation River country, which is north of Eagle, generally the southern slopes of the Brooks Range, over in the Wood River country, generally the area both east and west of Fairbanks, primarily one of the areas in which we finally settled down because of the fact of access, which is of very prime importance even today, was the general area north and east of Fairbanks. The Cleary Hill area is where we really settled down and put our very heavy accent and prospecting effort.
What was the result of your hard work over in the Cleary Hill area, Rudy? Have you made some discoveries over there? Or?
Yes, we did. We made a significant discovery over there on what's known as the Christina Group. We did some production on that. I think we produced about 5,000 ounces of gold. We mined and milled that at the old Cleary Hill and the High U Mill.
What kind of mill was that High U Mill?
It was an old stamp mill, five-battery stamp mill. It's a mortar and pestle principle with amalgamation for recovering the gold.
Mm-hmm. You recovered about 5,000 ounces of gold using that five-stamp mill then?
That's right. That was prior to about 1962, and we did no mining after that. However, we optioned our ground to Placid Oil Company. It laid idle for about 9 years, I think, and all we did was the assessment work. And then we optioned our ground to Placid Oil Company for 7 years, and they did a substantial amount of work running some drifts in there. One drift on the Christina claim, which is 1,700 feet long, a drift or an underground, perhaps the best way for the general public to understand what I'm talking about when I say drift would be a tunnel. However, the word tunnel is not proper mineral terminology. That is still in existence and is accessible. They did a lot of core drilling, which is now valuable information. It would cost perhaps $3 million to do that today. It's now being reviewed by BP Minerals, and it looks like maybe eventually we will get a mine up there on the hill.
Well, could you probably run through the method that you used, Rudy, in discovering the Christina claims and how you went step by step through the prospecting adventure that brought you to the discovery?
The method that we used was when we first started prospecting, we looked at some of the outlying areas, but again, I wanted to stress access. That's the one thing a prospector should keep in mind. We finally decided after several years that we would move into the Fairbanks area, and we attended several courses out at the college, and one of them was the total heavy minerals method, which is a colorimetric method of mineral determination, and we used that along with certain other geological evidence that we had acquired. Most of our prospecting methods that we have used was by experimentation and self-learning process. After we started prospecting with the geochemical method, we found an anomaly or a target area, and from there we decided that the geochemical prospecting results were such that we had to go in and attempt to explore and make a mine out of it. We took a tractor in there, a D8, and made several cuts, and in the first cut that we made, we found the mineralization from which the geochemical target of it was derived. And the first year we took out about 100 ton and recovered about 300 ounces of gold. And we did that for about four successive years. We mined and made a total recovery, as I said, of about 5,000 ounces. Then we had a little bit of a problem in regard to the leases, and we let it lie idle for about 9 or 10 years. And during that interim, my brother stayed here and worked in the school, and I worked on the North Slope as a service oiler for 8 years. 1978 is the year, I believe, that we leased to Placid Oil, and as I said, they had it for about 7 years. Approximately a year ago, we leased a property to the new FE company that's incorporated, and they have made a sublease to British Petroleum Minerals, who are now going to pursue the prospect.
I see. Rudy, in just a minute, I'd like to come back and talk about what the ore appeared like. But for just a minute, let's take a look at some of the people who sponsor Alaska Gold Trails. When you think of jewelry, you think about quality. And when you want quality, you think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you are looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting a quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystal that's sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will be long remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service. But listen, Larson is more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larson's can. Located at 4th and Noble, open 9 to 6 weekdays and 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. That's 456-4141. And Robert Charlene and James Johnson own and operate a family business here in Fairbanks called Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. Because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and labor. To give you an example of what they they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant. Listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, folks, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Spring handles both standard and custom-made coil springs. Just look at what they stock. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings. Torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and weasels. Finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or sketch. And they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material, that's any material, folks, that needs heat treatment. The heat oven can be raised to a temperature of 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, whereas the tempering oven is raised to 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit. And by the way, you plaster miners, ask Bob what kind of service he now has available for you. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs, 285 Alta Way. Give them a call at 451-8612. Rudy, here a few years ago, I know that you permitted some of my students and I to come down and visit the mine where you're working. Actually, it was a decade ago, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, time flies and you're having fun. And you provided us with a few small samples of ore taken from the claim. And in the samples, there was visible gold, along with some stibnite and some beautiful white quartz matrix. Tell us about that ore vein and the tenor of that ground that you had there.
Well, that was the vein that the general strike or the vein system in which we found with our geochemical prospecting methods. It was in what we assumed to be a shear zone or a large area of fracturing where the ore was deposited, and it had broken sections of very high grade gold, visible gold in quartz. Some of it was, I've been told that other people assayed, some of it went 100 ounces to the ton. We never bothered to assay it. The tenor of the, and when it was that high grade, because we felt there was no use. But it did average about 18 inches wide, and the average, by very careful selection of the ore when we mined it, ran an average of about 3 ounces to the ton of recovered gold. However, we sold all of our production at a base price of $35 an ounce, and with the dross or the sulfide minerals that were contained within that gold product, our total net value to us was about an average of $30 an ounce. One of the peculiarities about that vein is that it had a blue aluminum silicate gouge, or a gouge is a product that's derived from these types of veins that looks like a clay, and it is an aluminum silicate. Wherever you run into these clays in the placer mining areas, most of you placer miners, it would behoove you to make a good check of those areas.
You think that's a pathfinder to lode deposits?
That is a pathfinder to lode deposits. Anytime the iron and iron pyrite in this area also is a very good pathfinder to lode deposits, especially the very fine grain pyrites that are an eighth of an inch or smaller, down to the very small sizes. Antimony, of course, is another pathfinder. I rely very strongly on just a field check of the total heavy minerals geochemical method of prospecting using diathion dye and gasoline for an oxidizer. It will put you into the area and give you a target to shoot at.
So this dye then indicates the presence of valuable heavy metals in some case.
That's right. Primarily zinc, copper, and lead. It's a colorimetric method, or each mineral of the three I cited will give you a different color.
And it's the association of gold with these minerals that give you an indirect prospecting technique.
That's right, too. Mm-hmm. It's especially true in the Fairbanks area, I think, but worldwide it's becoming very evident that antimony, iron pyrite, gold, lead, silver, almost always indicate or are good pathfinders for gold. You will either find the high-grade gold vein systems where you find the aforementioned products, or you will find a halo of highly disseminated gold, which is perhaps not as rich, but with new prospecting methods and new methods of extraction and mineral development, it makes it very lucrative to investigate these areas thoroughly.
Rudy, in your experiences as you prospected around the country, have you recognized that the ore veins and ore deposits are distinguished by a much higher and brighter colorations than the surrounding country rock? Is that an indicator of ore deposits or a possible indicator?
Oh, yes, and there's several factors there. Color is a very definite factor, and color varies with the degree of moisture that you have in the soil or in the earth. Sometimes some of the minerals show better when they're dry. When we made our first discovery up there, it was a dry year. And when you have a wet year and you get the topsoil, if your mineral prospect does not outcrop in very large and wide zones, you get a mixing of the topsoil, and that tends to dilute or perhaps cause a lower show of color or a poorer show of color. Always when mining or prospecting, there are several things that you should do. Be sure you have a rock hammer, especially when you think you're in a mineralized zone, and break rocks. Don't hesitate about breaking rocks.
You always want to look at that fresh surface.
Look at a fresh surface. Then once you've broken your rocks and if there's any show of pyrite or mineralization, get it sawed on a diamond saw, and that's another way. Your minerals show up with greater strength if you have a flat sawed surface than they do on a broken surface. Mm-hmm. Carry a hand lens at all times with you so that you can look at the rocks. One of the primary attributes, I believe, of a prospector is to be curious, and don't let anyone tell you that such and such will not occur. You can't say that, oh, it used to be considered by a lot of people that there were certain set definite circumstances where mineralization will not occur. I don't believe in that at all. Don't let me or anyone else tell you that, this will not occur. Because about the first time you make a statement like that, someone proves you a liar or an exaggerator.
I did that in one of my classes once. I told some students that gold wouldn't occur in a locality. And sure enough, they wouldn't take my word for it, so they went and looked, and there was the gold. Well, you can't win them all.
Yeah, that's right.
Rudy, let's take a moment out and pay a few bills, what say? B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, I've said this a couple of times. That's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier. it's attached. However, you never know, so ask Killer. That's B&L Pond, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. The number is 452-6491. Open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday, and 12 to 5 Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. Hector's Welding, located 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Hector's Welding has been serving Alaska for 40 years. Talk about steel and iron stock for any job you have. Hector has over 600 tons of stock on hand. Keep that in mind, folks. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. No job is too small or too large for the skilled staff at Hector's Welding. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks, and they do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. Mining equipment fabrication, a specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plate. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs, and a specialty for you truckers, straightening low boy, high boy, and truck frames. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rush jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now, an all-new service for the placer miners. Flocculants. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit available. Keep that in mind, placer miners. All you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. Remember, it's free. Wherever Alaska's miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Phone 488-6432. That's 488-6432. Well, Rudy, let's talk about that antimony that was associated with that gold. Do you ever make any money off the antimony?
Well, antimony is rather a sporadic occurrence, and the price fluctuates very widely. I would say that don't anticipate making any money on antimony in at least the Fairbanks area. If these low-grade, high-volume deposits, large tonnage deposits are ever developed, undoubtedly there will be some money made from it. But for the small prospector, if you find some antimony, see if you can find a market for it and attempt to sell it. But I certainly wouldn't say that antimony in itself is going to be a profitable thing. It is a good highlight, or is a good target area to work in, because where you find the antimony, you usually find the gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would you suggest that miners that are collecting antimony stick it in a barrel for a later rise in prices or speculation?
That would be a very good thing to do. Had we done that, I could have made considerable amount of money. Antimony was so cheap that when we first prospected in the area and did our mining in the area, it really didn't pay. You couldn't have made 50 cents an hour putting it in barrels. And saving it. But that definitely, Jim, it would be a very good thing to do. Don't throw it away.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a kind of a long-range plan, is it?
That's mm-hmm. right. It has been up to approximately $2 a pound at times in the area.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, Jim, you asked me in regard to prospecting and what I would do or how I would start prospecting, if I were new to the area, one of the things, or this would be my way of prospecting as follows. First, I would do considerable research with out at the college and find out where the mines have been in the past. Going back as far as 1902, there are a lot of old USGS, U.S. Geological Survey bulletins around. They will give you target areas. Then the next thing, of course, you've got to do is research the BLM and the state records to find out where there are valid mineral claims, because you don't want to waste any time staking on valid mineral claims, and it will cause a lot of trouble to other people. I would then learn the geochemical method of prospecting that I've described or the university's total heavy minerals deposit. And I don't know, are you still teaching that, Jim?
No, we teach it once a year, Rudy. By the way, Rudy, one question that I have is regarding the USGS publications. Are those available at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Library?
Yes, they are.
And where else might they be found?
I think there are a few down at University in Geist, at the State Department of Natural Resources.
Rudy, I think we got a call here. Just a minute. Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim.
Oh, I was wanting to know that gentleman's name.
Rudy Vetter?
Rudy Vetter. Mm-hmm. It's spelled V as in Victor, E-T-T-E-R.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Okay, we were talking about the U.S. Geological Survey materials that were provided here in the interior of Alaska and publications that might be available at the university library. And then you made reference to the Bureau of Land Management. And if I'm not mistaken, that's still out on Fort Wainwright,
yes,
isn't it?
The Bureau of Land Management, I think, has some, and DNR. At University in Geist Road in the bank building there upstairs. Talk to Joy Zook or Mildred Brown has retired. Carol Stevenson. Now there are two ladies there or three. Joy Zook has been there 3 years, I guess, but Mildred Brown has retired. They were in charge of the records division. Now, she was in charge of the records division. Carol Stevenson worked under her, and Carol is there alone now in that section. Those two ladies are very important, and they do a very good job. I want to compliment them and thank them for their efforts. They have a great number of instances of and records in their head that aren't even on file, have a very good knowledge of how that system works, and if you check and with them, they can help you and assist you in locating the areas that are really heavily staked and show you how to use the process and determine where and how you might do your staking or filing of mineral claims. They've been very helpful.
They've been there so long that they have items coming through that aren't necessarily written down. Is that right?
That's right. And they remember things that it's just a matter of things that are retained that are not on file or a record.
We'll get back with the steps in how you might go about a prospecting adventure, Rudy, in just a minute. Right now I want to talk about Tip Top Chevrolet. And as all of us are getting to know, it's bonanza time at Tip Top Chevrolet. Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet says all 1987 trucks must go. They are having a giant year-end truck sale. For power, performance, and comfort, you can't beat a Chevrolet truck. The 6-year, 60,000-mile limited warranty is standard. Come in, look them over, take a test drive, and make them an offer. No reasonable offer will be refused. Tip Top Chevrolet has what you want, whether gas or diesel, 2 or 4-wheel drives, small, comfortable, and sporty, or a full-size work truck. Robbie is ready to deal. For the best selection and the best prices, stop in today. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 South Cushman. Listen to the components on these sale models. The S10 Blazers have a powerful 2.8-liter V6 with electronic fuel injection, a smooth ride with fully independent front suspension standard, excellent visibility, bucket seats in front are standard on the S10s, handsome styling with comfort and convenience. All units in stock have 4-wheel drive. Now, the S10 pickups have heavy-duty construction, sizes to fit your needs, heavy-duty payload package, fully independent front suspension, hot wax coating, and the entire frame helps fight effects of road silt and dirt. On the full-size pickups, electronic fuel injection is now standard. Vortec V6 engine, one of the most powerful standard engines in a half-ton pickup. Fleet side or step side boxes available. Crew cab or bonus cab available, and the option of a gas or diesel power. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 Cushman Street. Phone 452-8211. That's 452-8211. And don't forget Robbie's special safety tip, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. Well, Rudy, we've hit on a couple of areas to gather information. One of the areas, of course, is from the U.S. Geological Survey, is to take a look at some of the mineralized areas that have been discovered in the area. And one of the comments that have been made by a lot of prospectors is that if you want to go prospecting in an area where valuable minerals have been discovered before. And that's probably one of the reasons for investigating these areas of high mineralization that the USGS has defined early on in this century. The other is, and you pointed this out clearly to us, that we don't want to go tromping on land that is already set aside for another use or is otherwise taken up as mining claims. Area, we go to the Bureau of Land Management and, of course, the Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys. From there, where would you go on your prospecting adventure?
Of course, that next step is a field work. There is one other source at the university that you might check, and that's in the archives. There's a lot of old information there. You move into your field work. You should learn all you possibly can in regard to rules and regulations in mining. Spend a lot of your time in reading. I believe that you should be well informed when you go out into the field as to what all of the problems are going to be. There is one book I'd like to recommend to a lot of you people, and that is Boyle's book. And the title is The Geochemistry of Gold and Its Deposits. That's available here in town. You should buy that and read it. It's rather expensive, but it will answer a lot of questions once you get into mining and are interested. The questions are there, and if you learn to interpret them and follow his information, I'm sure that some of you can become very successful in mining and prospecting.
As a footnote to that, Rudy, Boyle's came out with his Geochemistry of Gold, and just recently he's come out with a new book simply entitled Gold. And both of those books deal strictly with gold and its deposits, and one from a chemical standpoint and the other more of a geological and depositional standpoint.
I've heard of this book or seen it in print, the new one on gold, and I've ordered one. Now, this next step after being sure that I would understand the rules and regulations and doing extensive reading and as to where you might want to prospect, and as Jim said, if you're going to prospect in areas where the minerals have been found before. That's becoming more apparent all the time. Prospect in the accessible areas. We have hundreds of miles of roads and streams that are available from the roads from here south all the way into southeastern Alaska, and from here north all the way north to the Arctic Ocean that have not been checked at all. And access is of prime importance. The next thing I'd do would be, as I said before, put myself with a good hand lens and learn how to use it and learn mineral identification, which is available out at the university. Of course, it's being held every year out there. And then I would take, be sure that, as I've said before, break rocks, be inquisitive, look for coloration, look for breaks in the formations and in the general structure of the ridges and hills.
Well, Rudy, we're once again, the time has slipped away on us, and I want to thank you, Rudy, for sharing your time with us today. And I also want to thank the listening audience for taking part in the program. Next week's guest is Charlie Green from Department of Commerce and Economic Development. And Charlie, of course, is the mining specialist. It's been fun, folks. This is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week, happy prospecting.
We now join ABC News in progress.
What's up to the Contras? Here's ABC's John McQuithy.
President Ortega. Okay, it's not in progress. It's coming up at the top of the hour. 2 p.m., Michael Dresser is next.
Ortega presented an 11-point proposal for establishing a ceasefire between Nicaragua and the U.S.-backed Contra rebels. He presented it to House Speaker Jim Wright and Cardinal Obando y Bravo, the man who is to be intermediary in the talks. The Cardinal will then see what the Contras have to say. The Reagan administration has refused to talk to Ortega while he is in Washington, and the Nicaraguan president has said if the U.S. wanted to help the peace process, it would stop supporting the Contras, a course of action not considered likely in the near future. John McQuethy, ABC News, Washington.
The Reagan administration's made it clear it does not care for House Speaker Jim Wright's getting directly involved in the peace negotiations. More news after this.
Operator, oh, would you help me place this call? You see, he's out there and I'm here without him. And though he's far away, I need to call him now and say, I love him.
Help reaching loved ones, AT&T operators provide the personal touch. When you use the AT&T network, just dial 0 plus the number you're calling, and you'll reach the operators of AT&T. When the message is from the heart, the good news is AT&T.
Operator, we want to thank you for this call.
AT&T, the right choice.
Jitters about the continuing deficit reduction talks helped make it a down day on Wall Street. The Dow was down 25 points to close. The budget negotiators say they are still optimistic that an agreement be hammered out. They'll be back at it on Monday. Another country is going to be hit by U.S. trade sanctions. $100 million in tariffs to be levied against Brazilian goods bound for this country. President Reagan doing that because the Brazilian government continues to keep American computer companies out. It's still not certain as to just which Brazilian products will be affected. ABC's Tony Sargent.
Brazil sells the United States textiles, shoes, citrus fruit, coffee, steel, and short-haul commuter aircraft, among other exports. Some analysts believe it could become the Japan of the Western Hemisphere. It's improving the quality and variety of what it manufactures, and it tries hard to protect its developing industries like computers from foreign competition.
A list of Brazilian exports to be tariffed to be out next week. Ohio Democratic Congressman James Traficant has filed papers with the Federal Election Commission declaring his candidacy for the Democratic presidential nomination. He admits he has little chance of winning, but he says he hopes to be able to influence national policies. The Senate Armed Services Committee has approved Frank Carlucci as next Secretary of Defense. The full Senate expected to confirm Carlucci sometime next week. The FDA has okayed a new drug that dissolves blood clots, a drug which is expected to save lives of many, many heart attack victims. That genetically engineered drug is called TPA. Dr. Barry George of Riverside Hospital in Columbus, Ohio, says it's got to be used soon after a heart attack.
Once the heart attack has occurred, then TPA is used. It does not necessarily prevent heart attacks with the research we have at this point in time. It is only given in patients who are in the midst of a heart attack and their chest pains have been less than 4 to 6 hours from the onset of pain.
Blood clots, of course, the major cause of heart attacks. So how's your day gone today? Well, anybody who's superstitious has probably been very careful around mirrors, ladders, and the like. Today is Friday the 13th. In fact, it's the third Friday the 13th this year. Some people consider the number 13 lucky. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 25 points, finished the day at 1935. This is ABC News.
True Value Hardware Stores offer a new twist in screwdrivers as their November True Value of the Month. The Master Mechanic Cordless Power Screwdriver for only $13.99 can be used almost anywhere. It runs at 130 RPM with high torque gearing to drive or remove screws and fasteners. Plus, it includes a double-ended slotted Phillips bit and charging stand. In November, the Master Mechanic cordless power screwdriver is just $13.99 as the True Value of the Month while supplies last at participating True Value hardware stores.
For the ABC Information Network, I'm Doug Limerick.
You know, kids don't know about savings or its rewards unless you help them learn. At Key Bank of Alaska, we want to help you teach your kids about savings. From a kid's standpoint, we make it not only bearable, but downright fun. Because right now, Key Bank of Alaska is offering a special bonus to kids all over Alaska when they save their permanent fund dividend. When you deposit $708.19 or more into one of our Key Saver accounts or a 1 or 2 year certificate of deposit, Key Bank will give your child a $20 gift certificate to Chuck E. Cheese or for movies, bowling, or skating at the entertainment center. There's no better way to get your kids to save and have fun, too. And while our competitive rates and FDIC insurance don't mean much to your kids yet, we know they're important to you. Key Bank of Alaska,